Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/F-as-in-Frank-R-E-E.
Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, and welcome to a special edition of the Kick-Ass Life Show. And this is Sunday. It's Father's Day. And I had a special guest come on, and I sat back, we chillaxed, and we talked all about that relationship between a father and his daughter, a father and his son, and really great chat. This guy is a little bit of a legend in our parts of the world for his daddy-daughter dance, which has become very, very popular. Fathers go out and without their moms, just their daughters, and they take them out and dance with them all night. He's a DJ, just a really great guy. And as we sort of sit back and enjoy this special edition show for Father's Day, just I want to excuse the sound quality. I'm actually driving in my car. My children have a special surprise ready for me, and I don't know what it is, but I know I have to be a certain place at a certain time with $25 in my pocket. So we'll see what happens. I'll tell you all about it when I speak to you next. And then I just want to sort of put a little thing out there. If you're in a bad relationship with your kids, or your bad relationship with your fathers, maybe it's time. Maybe today's the day where you can just reach out. And remember, forgiveness is always the key. Holding on to any anger, resentment, anything at all is like drinking poison, expecting them to die. Doesn't have to condone what they've done or how they've treated you. But, you know, sometimes it's about moving forward. And even if you don't want a complete relationship, you can still have the courage to maybe send an email or a text or a card or a bunch of flowers or something, and remember all those years where, typically a parent does the best they can, or a child. Sometimes the falling out can be either way. So you fathers out there, if you have a little something going on with your kids, maybe it's time to reach out. So with that being said, I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the wisdoms of Jeff Hay. We're sitting here, having just met my guest. We have a lot of mutual friends, or a number of mutual friends, and you probably hear the birds in the background. You may hear our loggers in the background here cleaning up, but it's as real as it gets. And my guest just happens to live in town here, and asked for a face-to-face, and I thought, what a great idea, what a great way to start a relationship. So we've sat down, we haven't spent too long. I said, I want to push the record, because there's so many good stuff, so much good stuff coming out. I don't want to do it twice. I don't like asking the same question twice.
I won't remember. That's,
I know,
the
exactly. So, Jeff, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, you said that you've listened to some shows, and I often describe the view. Do you want to describe where we're sitting, just so other people can hear somebody else's perspective?
I guess it's pretty nice. we're sitting, perched up on top, looking down both legs of the lake here, and this is a view that I'd often don't see. So it's Yeah, it's breathtaking.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I've ever said the word breathtaking before.
Really? Do you want to hold my hand?
It's breathtaking.
Hold my hand. You're breathtaking.
Yeah.
but Jeff, you know, I suppose, you know, a good friend of mine, in fact, Mike, the guy I talk about on the show, my business partner, I mean, he sort of recommended we get together, and I just thought you were incredible at what you do, and just really gets a deep sense about people. And because he's a chiropractor, when he works with people, he really does get this wonderful sense.
Right.
And, but you know, the thing that you really specialize in is this whole relationship between fathers and sons, right?
Yeah, well, fathers and sons and fathers and daughters.
Right.
And I think that's how Mike and I first met, was he... He was one of the great supporters, early supporters of the father-daughter dance.
Oh, right.
Which is a dance that I, you know, with the help of a few other dads, we put on every year, and it's magical.
Tell us about that, because I think that's a great place to start. The father, I remember seeing Mike's face, both before he went to the dance, and now this is his third year or fourth
year? At least.
Yeah, yeah.
At least, yeah.
And, but, I mean, just the wonder of this experience. Why don't you explain the father-daughter dance? So?
Well, it's a very special night. I think, for me, I do a lot of DJing, a lot of events, a lot of weddings and corporate parties, but this event stands out to me simply because it's dads, which is what I'm really motivated in talking to and speaking with. And it's basically, this year was our first sellout, so we almost had to turn dads away. I don't think we did in the end, but we had about 151 dads. Each with one, maybe two daughters.
Wow.
And, you know, I hate to say it, but the magic also is that there's no moms there. So the dads really have
don't
a
worry,
free...
moms.
I yeah, know sorry, a... sorry. Yeah.
We love you, too.
It's just part of the design. But basically the
half
dads...
Half my audience just turned on.
I know, I'm sorry. I prefaced it, I thought. But basically with no moms there, the dads really have the green light to be goofy.
Yeah.
And you'll see a few dads sort of, you know, first-time dads will be a little standoffish at first. And then they'll realize that, hey, like, your daughter's looking up at them, and you're a hero.
Right.
And you're just there with your daughter, and we're having fun. And we do games, and, there's portraits in a photo booth, and, of course, lots of dancing. And I think a lot of the girls, and I think a lot of the dads really look forward to it year after year.
It's funny, you know, about 80% of my students are women, which is interesting. And I just did an event this last weekend in Nanaimo, and I realized the first thing I do when I get in front of a room is I separate couples. Because, you know, you kind of alluded to it a little bit there, where, you know, there's that way of being sometimes when you're with your spouse, but you take the spouses apart,
oh, yeah,
and you leave the kids alone, and suddenly they're both goofy, right?
Absolutely. Well, I think they're more real.
Yeah.
I led a workshop a few years ago called Sex, Love, and Diapers. And it was all about, for new couples, basically, when a baby arrives, how your relationship changes.
Yeah.
And so I kept them together for the first part, and similar to you, I separated all the women together and then all the men together, and then you really get the answers that, you know, everyone feels safe to give.
That's interesting. Now, I want to excuse the banging in the background. There's a big building project about a mile away, but because we're on the lake, the sound is traveling, so it's there. We'll just ignore it. Back to you, though. I love this idea. Was it Sex, Love, and Diapers?
Mm-hmm.
Because there really is that thing. I mean, that thing you notice, or I notice a lot with young couples, where they go through this you know, euphoric state, and then kids come along.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, there's this disbursement of energy, and you see the relationship between the mom and the child often is really bonded. The dad sort of hanging in backfield. But you see a lot of relationships really struggling through that area.
Absolutely. It's crisis mode.
And what do you think that's all about? What is it because the attention is now directly to...
I think it's attention, but it's also time, energy. I think everyone's exhausted.
Right.
I think, you know, moms obviously specifically are a little more tired than dad. I always talk to my dads and say, you got to get involved. You got to get off the sidelines. You got to get in the game and be an active participant in this new baby. You know, you can do everything but breastfeeding, basically. You know, if a bottle
You're going to have those fakies on, right?
I've seen that. I've seen that. Yeah.
But it's really, I remember actually the first time I fed my. That's a float plane taken off, just so you know what that is. but there's. When I first breastfed.
Do you have pictures of that? I'd like to see that.
You should see my boobs. Yeah, really nice. But when I first bottle fed Cal, I remember my wife in tears because it was like for the first time I was there, and she'd gone out, and she'd pumped some, and she walked in, and there I am in the rocking chair having this moment that I hadn't had feeding him. It was my first real time feeding him.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit of a, for her, it was a little bit of a, oh, that period's over.
Yeah.
But for the first time, I felt a deeper connection. And I'm a new dad, like my first time, and like probably any struggling father. It's hard, right?
Well, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I sort of stress is that when a baby's born, it's mom. Mom is who baby wants, and dad is just another not mom. Right. You know what I mean? But if a dad stays involved and gets in there, then that magical day happens when he becomes somebody. Then the hierarchy becomes mom, then dad, then the other not moms. Because dads, you know, we hold babies differently. We smell different.
One leg.
Song. Yeah, by the head or, you know, whatever. But, you know, the football hold, we hold them like footballs. But it's different. And I think the baby starts to realize that, hey, this guy's safe too. And right. I like this guy. He's not mom, but he's very comforting and I like him.
Now, you have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, three.
Three.
And two with the same name. I think fascinating. Just
well, we're a blended family. And my wife and I separated a couple of years ago. And sort of, you know, had a, you know, as many couples do, I'm guessing, you know, a period of just sort of trying to figure things out and figuring out what the next step was. And I went on a blind date with a woman, and we hit it off right away. And about, you know, 20 minutes into the blind date, after the whole sort of awkward introduction type thing, we started talking about families because we both knew that we had children. And I said, oh, you know, what's your son's name? And she said, oh, it's William. And I was like, oh God, this isn't going to work. That's my son's name. And so we obviously shared a laugh, and now they, you know, they, my daughter, I think, thinks it's hilarious because she'll introduce her brothers.
Yeah, this she is loves William and William.
Yeah, this is my brother William and my other brother William.
Do other people think you weren't very creative at birth?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like George Foreman, who named all his kids George. But we'll be in a restaurant, and the waitress will be there waiting to take our order. And we'll be like, Will 7, what do you want? No, Will 5, what do you need? Will 7, you want fries with that? No, okay. And it's just, and to us, it's just normal. It's our life, and we love
it. Well, what you've done is, because you have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, you actually add their
age. Right, sorry, yes.
Otherwise, they don't know, because you tried Bill.
We tried Willie, we tried Big Willie, we tried Little Willie, and Little Willie was just ridiculous to say.
No.
And so we went with the ages, and now they're excited, because both of them have birthdays in the summer. So they're excited about their new name coming, Will 6 and Will 8.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's, I mean, it is what it is, and we love it. It's
so when you introduce me, this is William the 6th.
Yes, yes.
There's a regal. There's a regal
tone. Yes. I hold my chin up, and I certainly enunciate.
Now, we only spoke for a couple of minutes before the show, and I want to talk a little bit about your separation, because that's very unique.
I think
becoming less unique in the world, in the sense that with this liberation or this...
Yeah,
this
since it happened, my wife, you know, I think through self-discovery realized that she was gay. And obviously that came as a bit of a surprise to me, and I'm not going to lie. I did not see that coming, but it's basically the end result now is that we've released each other to a second chance at happiness.
But you're great friends as well, right?
We're great friends. You know, the kids go back and forth freely. The kids know that mommy and daddy still care about each other deeply, and we want to make sure the other one's happy, but we're both in such a better place.
Sure.
And I think the biggest thing I look at is the children now have a chance to see me happy. Because
right.
we weren't, it's not that we weren't mad at each other or yelling at each other. We just weren't living a fulfilling, happy life.
Well, I mean, obviously for her, there was something that maybe she hadn't discovered yet.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that doesn't allow us to step into authenticity, which means your relationship's going to suffer because there's not two people who are completely authentic, right?
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's true. And I think now we're much more on the path to authenticity and really living a life full of love.
Do the kids know or do they understand? Is it a conversation you have later on?
No, we've certainly been very careful the way that we've talked about it. We talk more about special friends.
Right.
And mommy's got a special friend and I have a special friend and I'm happy for mommy and she's happy for me. And I think children at the bottom line just need to know that their world is safe.
Right.
And when they see mom and dad happy and they see us talking, they realize, okay, this isn't, they hate living in two separate houses.
Right.
But that's just the reality of our situation.
My question to you is this idea around separation, and I've often talked on the show about an elegant separation or a divine divorce. And I'm fortunate to have a great relationship with my ex-wife, and I have keys to her house. She has keys to my... I mean, it's just one of those things that we've worked on.
Right.
And you know, for me, it's never been about the kids, doing it for the kids. I mean, I was once in love with her, and I'm still in love with her, but in a different way. But I
absolutely.
Mean, and this, I you must see a lot working with dads and working with parents, or working with even through your dance, a lot of separated couples that really have a lot of animosity or a lot of hatred. Even I mean, I don't like even using that word, but it exists, right?
It does, and I think the nature of my situation is so different, and I always have to keep that in mind when I'm talking about guys saying, "Hey, you know what? It can work." And as I mentioned, I wrote an article about children of divorce can receive more love if things are done well and if they are sort of kept in the forefront of what is best for them. You know, because when they're not with me, I'm looking forward to seeing them. My love is very focused, and I'm excited to see them. And I think for a lot of other dads, there are the, you know, maybe there's an affair, or maybe there's an addiction, or maybe something else makes the divorce tougher or messier. I don't want to use the word messier, but makes it more challenging. And I think sometimes the kids are sort of pushed to the back burner, and they're used as power, you know, exchange pieces, and that obviously is hurtful.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I had to phone a friend of mine the other day whose relationship is struggling slightly, and I noticed him looking at a girl who's incredibly young and beautiful, and here he is, he has like five kids. And I, as a friend, I phoned him and I said, "Hey, I don't know if there is anything going on, but I know that you're struggling a little bit in your relationship right now. And I just want to, if I can give any counsel, you haven't asked for it, but the truth is, if you are going to move away from your wife, my urge is that you don't have a relationship with somebody else, A, first, or be soon."
Right.
Is that something, I mean, you would advise people, you know, in the separation is to have that space? Because the kids really misinterpret that. Mommy left daddy for someone.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a big pain they carry for the long time.
Right? Yeah. In our situation, I mean, I think going back to what you said earlier, if there is, you know, a tough time, a couple's going through a tough time, you don't want to let space get in there, because space is what I think creates bad choices. And I think for a lot of, I don't know what the best way to say it, but I think, yeah, you have to deal with things in the right timing. And I think for my children, sorry, I just got back to where I was thinking here. For my children, it was very important to me that they understood the timing of things. Mummy sort of figured this out. Daddy was by himself for a while, and then Dad met Jan.
Right.
And because I wanted them to realize that Jan didn't equal Mummy and Daddy coming apart.
Right.
So the timing, it's been very deliberate and very specific the way that we talk about it. But again, it's very much in a, I've never been in, and this is, I guess, you reap the benefits, but when I was going through the tough time, I never spoke ill of her. There's never anything I had to apologize for, because I just...
Well, I think even when there is ill to speak, again, one of the things I'll tell people is, you know, I'll hear a husband or even a wife, but typically I hear a husband start to say something negative about their ex.
Yeah.
And I just, again, I'll pull them aside and say, "Would it be okay if I share something with you? For your children's sake, if for no one else, never ever say another negative word about your wife. You guys are already separated."
Yeah.
And they hear you, and they can feel that energy. What about you focus on the best part of her? Because you're going to raise these kids, whether you're in the same house or the same city, you are going to raise these kids together at some level, right?
Yeah. But you're going to know each other for the rest of your life.
Right.
And the children realize that I'm half mummy and I'm half daddy.
Right.
And if daddy's saying that about mummy, or mummy's saying that about daddy, then that's sort of about me too, because I'm half of them.
Sure.
And my wife, and we've talked about that, and, you know, at our children's weddings, for example, are we going to sit at the same table?
Right.
Are we going to speak and address people, at the same time? Or is there going to be three tables between us? This is, you know, back when we were sort of figuring things out. And I said, of course, you know, we're going to know each other for the rest of our lives. It may as well be in a positive way. And we've created these two beautiful children.
I love that. I love that fast forwarding through life and making choices today. Because if you have that as an end result, that you're going to be sitting at the same table at the wedding and speaking one after each other and with your prospective families.
Right.
And that you've already made that choice, then obviously what you go about every day becomes slightly different, right?
I think so. I think, you know, I want to choose happiness whenever I can. And I think for me, I could be disappointed. I could look back at, you know, the 11 years we were together and look at them differently. But at the end of the day, I have two beautiful children, and I wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. So I'm going to choose to be happy and choose a, you know, an easier path.
And I felt that when you walked in the house a moment ago, you know, it's just that, that you really have that beautiful energy. And I can, we were talking about a mutual friend and why, you know, why they would choose you to MC their wedding and to, to, because you really have that. But if we get back to some of the lessons and some of the things you teach around, you know, the relationship between fathers and daughters and fathers and sons, what are some of the things you're seeing that that people really need to hear or really need to be reminded of? Because I think we all know deep down inside what should happen.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to get busy and not make it happen, right?
I think the biggest thing is that dads are involved now more than ever, and they love it. I think it's a huge shift that's, you know, happened maybe 5 or 10 years ago, but, you know, 50 years ago to be, to get the award, you know, if, with Father's Day, if you're to get the award for the greatest father in the world, back then it was, you know, shoes on the feet, food in the fridge, and a roof overhead. And maybe you toss the ball around every once in a while. That was the world's greatest dad. And today, I think that's really the bare minimum of what a dad needs to do. Dad is a verb. Dad needs to be involved. To parent is an action. It's not just a noun. And I think dads need the green light. You know, I know you have a lot of moms and women that listen, and I think dads need to...
Well, they want to hear this, because these moms are like, yeah, they want their husband to listen to this show. You watch, honey, there's a show I want you to listen to. I know exactly what they're thinking.
Well, I have to be loyal to my brothers in arms, but I think the reality is dads need to be involved. As I said, they have to get off the sideline, realize that they have a unique gift that they need to, you know, their children, the benefits of a mom and a dad have unique gifts that their children need. And I think, but also moms sometimes need to let dads in and let dads make mistakes. You know, quite often there'll be a crying baby and mom knows the baby. Mom, you know, can rush in and pick up that baby and stop the crying immediately. But then that sends, you know, the message to dad that you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And sometimes you have to just let dad find his way, because odds are mom made a few mistakes, trial and error, trying to figure out what would work. And dads aren't always given the same room to do that. But again,
well,
a dad
also
has to
I think
want to.
A lot of women, I mean, and you're seeing it less and less, but certainly the way girls play, there's nurturing so much involved in their playtime, where with guys, you know, we're trying to rip each other's heads off and whack each other with a stick.
Yes.
So, I mean, we have grown up typically with different skill sets in in our playtime. But this idea of making mistakes and rushing in, I know one of the big things that that really I work with a relationship coach who she talks about, you know, trust and appreciation being two big factors, freedom, appreciation, and trust for a man. But that's really what you're talking about there is giving trust and appreciating and allowing and creating space so your husband can step in and play the role, right?
That's right. But he needs to, first of all, for the children's sake, but he needs to for himself. I mean, I think dads, if you want to talk about work-life balance, a happy dad, if he's working full-time, is thinking about his children and wants to know that he's being a good father. Right. And I think there's a lot of stress on dads that are working long hours, realizing, I'm not there for my family right now. And so when we do come home and we do try, and then, you know, things don't go the way that we want them to go, and then mom comes in and saves, then I think it's tough for a dad.
Right.
And I'm not saying have a pity party for the dad. He's still got to try and got to do his thing.
Sure.
But
it's very easy, I think, very easy to try once. And if you don't get the space and the support and you're not allowed to make mistakes, it's very easy to stop trying, right?
Yeah, well, that's mom's stuff. I don't know what I'm doing anyway. Mom does it better. You do it, dear.
Sure.
And that's, you know, unfortunately sometimes how dads react, which isn't the most mature way to do it. But it is sometimes, you know, the reality.
So let's talk about as we move into this relationship, though. So we start off early. We're getting engaged and involved. What's some of the things? Obviously, this daddy-daughter dance was inspired because of, again, separating the mom and dad to let dad come and let his hair down and be goofy and build that bond. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things we can be doing as our kids are toddlers? And we'll work through the whole spectrum.
Yeah, well, I think, again, being there, being present. You know, a dad needs to be, whether it's a son, whether it's a daughter, it doesn't really matter. A dad needs to turn off his phone, be there mentally, not be thinking about proposals he needs to have for work or emails he needs to respond to. He needs to be there. And I think kids equate love with time. You know, if you talk to children about, you know, if they're, you know, trying to figure out, you know, if you were to ask them, does your dad love you? Well, yeah, he spends a lot of time with me. And that's, to them, it's really not even doing something spectacular. I just wrote an article about how much I'm looking forward to doing nothing this summer, because, you know, I coach hockey, I coach baseball, I coach all of these things, and I'm just really looking forward to just spending time just doing whatever we want to do, going hiking. You know, we talked about Bear Creek across the creek there, and it was just a fun time to be outside.
Sure.
And so I think it's not even sort of activity specific. I think just dad spending time, making your children realize that you are a priority. When you get home from work, you know, put your things down. This is for moms too, because I work with and talk with a lot of stay-at-home dads. And it's the same kind of thing where dads and moms, you know, the children need to know that they're important.
Your this idea of the modern age and technology, because we're seeing kids now sitting next to each other texting.
Yeah.
And we've got parents now who, I mean, we seem to have this disease where we receive a text and we have to get back in 12 seconds or yeah. somehow we don't care.
Yeah.
There's no longer that you can receive a call or an email where you can put it off 24 hours.
Yeah.
What is... What role is that playing right now in the disruption of this connection between children and...
Huge. And I'm a hypocrite because I'll sit here and tell you, you got to turn your phone off, and I don't.
Right.
And because...
I love you. Look at him. See?
But it's just there are things that happen that come in, and I have to physically... You know, leave my. And I wrote. I don't want to keep talking about.
No, tell me. Where do they find these articles?
Oh, the Dad Vibe.
Oh, that's a cool. The Dad Vibe.
The Dad Vibe. .com.
Yeah. The Dad Vibe. .com.
Yeah, and I wrote one about.
Would you write an article for our website? Just throw one up there.
No, I haven't yet.
No, will you? It was a request.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I ask publicly, you'll say yes.
Yes, I have no choice now. Thank you, David. You cornered me. I'd love to. No, but I wrote just about the BlackBerry because I was sitting watching my son's hockey. And I looked around the stands. It was about a 7:30 game, 7:30 in the morning. And I looked around, and I'd hate to say it, but there was a lot of dads, a few moms too, but they're all on their phones. They weren't even watching the game. And I thought, what is happening at 7:30 on a Sunday morning that is more important than watching your children play? And I, you know, that's really, I got pretty fired up, and I wrote this article about, you know, these phones and what they're doing to us, and this the urgency that we think is there, but it's not. And they're missing
and
life.
It's imprisoned us, really, because even from the first thing in the morning when you open your eyes, there tends to be that, oh my God, it started already,
yeah.
right? Because even before you walk in the kitchen and have a little scratch,
yeah.
we're already, you gotta like, you
and
know.
And I'm the same, and I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, someone needs me, someone's talking to me, what do I need? And it's just...
And going to restaurants, you know, I sat at a restaurant the other day, I was joking, because there were five people on phones at our table.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
I said, well, are we all talking? And what I did was my buddy's on the thing, and so I actually texted him, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
And he suddenly looked up and went, oh, and he put it down. Right. He got my point. And that's how I stop people, is I'll send them a text if they're at the table with me.
Yeah.
But so we've got this relationship thing where time is essential. We've got a world that's really a complete paradox of that. In other words, more and more technology is actually taking us away from a deeper connection.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things you're suggesting in your articles or some of the solutions to or some of the things we need to be aware of anyway?
Well, I think the big number one is turn off your phone. Turn off your phone, turn off your computer. It's not that important. Nothing's as important as looking at your child and interacting with your child. That's the relationship that I think we talked about an early age, toddler age. I think your children need to know, like, yesterday, for example, I was playing Mario Kart with both children after school.
William?
Well, no, this was William and Jacqueline.
Okay.
Will 5 wasn't there yet,
okay.
but he was on his way. But we were playing Mario, and the phone rang. And I knew it was a client. I knew it was somebody I needed to talk to. But I physically said to my son, he said, Daddy, do you need to get that phone? And I said, no, this is more important to me right now. But it's a choice that I made. And in weaker moments, I may have taken that call.
Right.
But this time I was just really being cognizant of being here and being present and laughing and interacting and enjoying the moment. I'm trying to do that a lot more.
Do you want to hold hands again?
No, I'm getting close, though. I'm going to inch closer to you. But I just, because I find the same thing with like a camera. Sometimes I'll videotape their school performance. Because I want to capture it for posterity.
You
I want to
watch it.
And I don't, and I miss it. I miss the whole experience because I'm trying to look through a viewfinder to hold on to this memory that I never experienced in the first place.
And then we never watch it anyway, right?
That's
right. You throw it on Facebook and that's it. You forget all about it.
Yeah, I don't even go that far. It's still on my camera. So it just sits on my camera. And so I get frustrated with myself when I'm not preaching practicing what I preach.
But I think ultimately when we talk about happiness and we talk about relationships, you know, that last breath of air that we take, you know, I've always joked that I want mine to sound like this, like, what a rush. Yeah. You know, like, just totally excited to die.
Yeah.
But having lived a full life. But what I know from things I've read and people who have had near-death experiences, the thing that goes through their head is all about the relationship with their kids, the relationship mm-hmm. with their lovers, relationship with lover.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be a bad time for that to come up.
Right, relationship. But it is one of those keys to happiness, right?
Yeah. Well, I think your relationships, I mean, self-esteem is based, I think, on the key relationships in your life. If they're working, then your self-esteem tends to be higher.
Right.
And I always think about something I read, and I may even be misquoting this. I should Google this before I tell you. But samurai warriors, when they were going into battle, had an absolute clear head because all of the relationships in their life, their mom knew how they felt about them, and everyone. So when they went into battle, they weren't thinking, geez, if I die, I don't think I told my dad that I love him. Like, there wasn't any of these unfinished chapters. And so they were going into battle with a clear head, knowing that their relationships they had no regrets, I guess is where I'm going with this. And so for me, if I was to die tomorrow, knock on, is this wood? I guess it's wood.
Yeah, it's kind of wood.
Kind of plastic. I would like people to know in my life how I felt about them. There was no question marks. And you sort of leave it all on the table.
But you can't do that. I mean, that's something you show someone. I mean, you could tell
him.
I could tell my son 1,000 times I love him. And I do. I tell him probably 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny this morning because my son, 13, I'm driving him to the school bus, and I said, and normally I kiss him, and now he's at that age where kissing is not cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially, you know, rubbing nose. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, but he's like, hey, Dad, he says, you know, that's no longer cool anymore. I said, well, how's the hugging thing? He said, no, that's cool. So he's all right mm-hmm. to hug me now, but and I can kiss him on the cheek, but he's no longer thinking it's cool for me to.
What about the fist? You hold fists and you kind of do
the little
gangster?
Pump thing?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I just, yeah. No, yeah, but we wrestle a lot still. So.
There you go.
But my question, though, is this, when we know this all makes sense, we understand that this, the samurai example of having all those relationships, you know, what's the word?
Solid. Intact.
Right? And yet so few dads, and I'm going to talk about dads a little bit, because the and moms who are working moms or working dads, because of that sort of the stress that's put on us at work and then coming home and then running a home.
Yeah.
And then always say, what's some of your thoughts around that? How do they find the space? What are they, apart from turning the phone off?
I think you have to have a clear vision of who you are as a father. I'll talk about, with some of the dads that I work with, we'll talk about the wedding toast. I talk a lot about weddings because it's sort of something I'm interested in. But the wedding toast where the bride and groom, and I'm going to talk about the bride because it's usually in the father-daughter workshop that I'll talk about this. The bride is going to stand up, she's going to address the guests, and at the very end she's going to say, and I need to talk about mom and dad. And dad, I want to thank you. I want to acknowledge you because you've always been so what? And then I get the dads to sort of fill in the blanks. Fair, patient, kind. You were always there for me. You were a good ear that always listened to me. And so I start getting the dads to think about, if that's how you want your daughter to see you when she's 25 or 30, then you need to be that now. You need to be those things to her. You need to be fair. You need to be patient. And I think for a lot of dads, they can, myself included, I can center myself when I'm feeling angry or I'm feeling anxious. Or I used to use the example of, it's your 85th birthday, dad. And all of your children, your grandchildren, they've all gathered, and they're all going to speak for 1 minute on what the legacy that you have left to them and what values and what they got from you. And so, again, same sort of idea that I want dads to really think long term. I want to be seen as, and I need to be that now.
And so being that now, though, if we work backwards to those choices, so that's really what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
And what do you think, apart from the phone, what are some of the things that the fathers that are creating that today, and yourself, what are some of the choices that you're making that are tangible? That
Sorry, I'll try and answer this question. I think, you know, being present. I know I keep saying that, but to me, that's one of the biggest things because everything else kind of flows
from
that.
So no distractions.
No distractions. I mean, when your son or daughter brings you a picture and says, Daddy, what do you think of this picture? Do you just breeze by and say, oh, perfect, great, good job, great, great picture, I love it? Or do you sit and you talk to them? Are you involved in this conversation? Are you a part of this? And I think really setting aside time, realizing, okay, I work 9 to 5, I've got a half an hour commute. I'm going to be home about 10 to 6. When I get in that door, what am I going to be? Who am I going to be? Am I going to be the guy that's frustrated at work? Sorry, David. Or am I going to be dad? Because that's who they're looking for. When they come running to you, they want dad. They don't want the frustrated guy that's exhausted from work.
Right.
And I think it's really making that conscious choice to be dad. and to really recognize the impact that you have. You're a hero.
Superhero.
Well, you are.
Yeah.
And again, I wrote an article about that, and it was just
dadvibe.com.
Dadvibe.com, yes. That one actually got picked up by a couple of places in the States.
Right.
And then Huffington Post, I wrote an article about the day that my son discovered bare naked ladies. And it was just, I'm sorry, that was just an aside, but
it's good.
You're a hero, Dad. Just to remind dads that you're a hero until you prove otherwise. Your kids have put you on a pedestal and a podium. Moms, too, but I'm talking specifically about dads. That's how you are.
But every mom listening wants their husband or their partner or whatever, significant other, to be a hero.
Well, absolutely.
Ultimately, even when I know sometimes there can be a little jealousy creeping between parents where, they seem to love you more than me right now.
Well, right? I think what can happen is dad's the good time Charlie. He comes home and he's sort of the Disneyland dad where he's doing all the fun stuff and mom's got the laundry and mom's having to remind the kids to pick up their stuff. And so dads
so she
need
becomes
to.
A nag and then...
Yeah, he's the fun guy. But and she's the heavy, and I think that's a conversation that couples need to have to make sure that, hey, Dad, you need to be the heavy sometimes, or you need to be the one that's reminding people to pick up. Like Jan, my partner, loves it when I take that role because it's not her favorite. She doesn't want to be doing that. So I think dads, they want to be heroes, but they have to be, do the regular things too, not just the superstars.
Yeah, let's talk about the non-hero dad listening, because we know there's lots of us out there, lots of dads out there who maybe would consider themselves to be, they listen to this and maybe some guilt riddling through their body thinking, I've been busy for 20 years now, I've been busy for the last 10 years, or, I really haven't been present with my kids ever. Mm-hmm. What are some of the suggestions you have for starting over? Because, we've talked about infancy where we make choices, but let's say, we got a teenager who we want to have a deeper relationship with. What's some of your thoughts around that? How can we restart?
First of all, it's never too late. It's never too late. I think if it's a teenager, you can almost be honest with them. I think you've got to come at it on their terms, and really acknowledge. Because, for some dads, they have been absent, and they know that they haven't been the father that maybe their children need. So I think, depending on the age of the child, you could probably be honest and say, hey, I know I haven't been here. I've been really busy with work, but I let's go camping or let's go fishing or I want to take you to the movie or something like that. And I think really, I think being consistent, I don't think you can just come back and do that once and expect all of the times you missed soccer practice or you missed the piano recital to go away. But I think the children will sense that, okay, Dad's got the intention now. He's really here. And really wants to be a part of my life. And again, there's going to be some rocky roads there. And again, like we talked about earlier, Dad can't try once and go, nah, this is pointless. This is dumb. You've got to be there. You've got to really be there. And again, I think looking long term, realizing I want my children to acknowledge me. I was at a wedding, a bride. I keep talking about weddings, but it's true. A bride stands up and she says, everybody, just the final toast of the night, I want to toast to the greatest man I've ever met. And we're all expecting and assuming that it's her husband. And she says, Dad, can you stand up? And again, for me, that was one of those lightning bolt moments where it hit me. I'm like, I want that. I want to be that for my daughter. I want her to think of me as the greatest. Maybe that's not a great way to say it, but I think
I think it's a wonderful possibility that exists.
That I have to work for. It's not just going to happen. Yeah. Just if I'm around or I show up to the odd, again, soccer practice, I think dads really have to get involved and go. Sure. And you'll see it. And society is, sort of on board with these dads being involved. They're slowly coming around. Although, 2 years ago, well, it was probably more than that, 3 years ago, I was at Mission Creek, a beautiful park here in the Okanagan, pushing my son on the swing. And an older woman came up and she said, what a great day. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's a great day. I love doing this. And she says, I just love seeing dads with their kids in the park. And I said, yeah, I know. I love pushing this guy on the swing. And he says, she looked at me and said, I love seeing dads. And I love seeing. And she says, I just think it's wonderful when dads babysit their kids.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of looked at her and I thought, are you kidding me right now? She goes, I just babies needed to give mom a break.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't say anything. I really, there's a lot of things in retrospect I would have liked to have said to her. I just sort of smiled and said, yeah, well, I'm, sure. Like I could have said at that time, I was the at-home dad and I was, being a father. I wasn't being a babysitter. Dads don't babysit. Moms certainly don't babysit, and dads don't babysit either. So I think society still has a bit of work to do to catch up to the fact that these dads are involved and are loving it. You walk around any mall, any park, and you'll see dads with sort of newborns on their snugglies.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's common now. Whereas, you know, even when I did it, I think I was one of the only dads at this playgroup. There'd be 30 moms and me.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, my son's 7, so that's in 7 years, I think, I've seen a change where there's way more dads involved because they're feeling like they've got the green light to be involved. It's not, you know, solely mom's territory anymore. I belong here too.
I always remind my boys when we're joking, I said, you realize I was the one that cut that little navel and I changed first diaper. But I mean, I think about my dad. My dad was in the pub when we were all born because that was his role. His role was not to be anywhere near the hospital.
That's right.
And here we are cutting the cord, you know, changing that first
diaper. I delivered my son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as soon as his shoulder came out, I was the one that kind of pulled him out.
Oh, nice.
And that was incredible to me.
Yeah.
You know, I missed the gender. I had one job when he was born was to declare the gender. And everything happened so fast. The nurses descended, and there was vacuums, and there was suction, and I cut something, and then he was all swaddled up, and my wife, you know, looked at me. She said, well, is it a boy or a girl? And I was like, I don't know. And just the look of disappointment on her face is something I'll always remember. Like, I had one job, and anyway, it was a crazy, crazy time. But yeah, it's the beginning.
So I want to talk a little bit about people that have lost relationship. Like maybe they have no relationship with their kids right now. And that yearning, I think, within a child. I mean, I didn't see my dad between the ages of 7 and 15. And then when I saw him, it was very sporadic, you know. So I know that even it doesn't matter how distant you are, I think, personally, and I'm talking only for myself, there was always a deep yearning to have that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And does it ever go? I mean, what's the barrier when parents and children fall out? How does a dad or a mom listening in? How do they create that bridge? What's the way back?
Well, I think you're always a parent. You're always a dad. You're always a mom. Again, maybe I'm foolish to believe, but I don't think it's ever too late. I think, as you said, there always is a yearning. So if your child is out there somewhere, you know, technology's there. Pick up the phone, call, text, you know, email, you know, say thinking of you. I think...
You said something earlier, which I don't want to miss on that point. You talked about, I've always a big believer, a big proponent, is your kids know anyway.
Yeah.
It's like parents that... They give their kids one set of rules, but they live by a different set.
Mm-hmm.
Or they grew up and they went out and partied and they did all these things. Yeah. They kind of pretend their kids aren't going to somehow, and they make it sound like they never
did.
And I think truth plays a massive role in the connection, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think children, there's a void. And I think if you're talking about self-esteem and these key relationships in your life for you to have maximum self-esteem, if you're missing one of those key relationships or it's in need of desperate repair, if it's a garden that's gone wild that hasn't been weeded and hasn't been tended to in a long time, I think, yeah. But I think the children, sure, they can be the ones that reach out, but I think... You know, the onus is on mom and dad to rekindle and reconnect. And I think pride plays a big thing with dads. You know, foolish pride where, I just can't do it. I can't make that step. And I think once they take that step, you know, a whole new world opens up again. And I haven't actually met a lot of dads that were in that situation where they reconnected after, you know, being away or being separated from mom or, you know, there was a messy divorce and she, you know, the child lived with mom and it was years later when dad sort of reconnected. And, you know, I think the benefit to the children is huge.
One of the agreements my ex-wife and I had, Pam, was that we'd always live within 10 minutes. Right now we live about 4 minutes apart.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that idea, though, when marriages do end, and there's lots of reasons. You have a reason, I have a reason. Our relationship didn't work.
Right.
But there are very different reasons. But there is choices, though, isn't there? And do you think proximity is power when it comes to relationships with our kids?
Oh, I think so. I think so. And that was important to my ex-wife and I to make sure that we stayed geographically close to each other because that... again, is what's best for the children.
Right.
Is it always possible? I don't know. But if one of us was to move away, I'm sure there'd be some problems. There'd be a fight of some sort because we know, well, there would be, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what will happen to the children? That's the famous saying, well, what about the children? And I think, you know, if possible, living close together, not too close, you know, I think you still want to have separate lives and still sort of... you know, exist on your own.
Sure.
But I think for the children, it's sure nice for them to have that security.
And, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show here. As far as, you know, any other thoughts you may have on this, I know you have a gazillion. And
it's just focusing.
I want to remind people of dabvibe.com where they can go and read about these different things you've written about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get a real deep sense that you really walk that talk and that there's a genuineness about your concern for these relationships and mm-hmm. that there's really answers. There's answers that are tangible. What is there any other kind of imparting kind of thoughts or wisdoms that you'd like to share?
I think the biggest thing is recognizing your role as a father and realizing how important it is to a son to grow up to be like his father. And for I've done a lot of reading, a lot of research about fathers and daughters and just how critical this role is in this bond with your daughter. She's going to evaluate every future man based on you. And so I think just being really aware of the impact that you're having with your children. And again, for me, my biggest struggle is making time and being very present and being very purposeful in my actions and always remembering, is what I'm doing helping my relationship or is it hurting my relationship? And sort of living my life that way and just sort of, being present, being in the moment. Again, as I mentioned with the videotaping of the Christmas concert, I missed the whole concert because I was not living in the moment. And I think for me as a mom and as a dad, you've got to be present and be a positive force. And live, I guess my other big thing is live your life with passion. Your children will recognize that, hey, mom's got a kick-ass life or dad's got a kick-ass life. And I think that will help them realize that, okay, I need to stretch. I need to live my life and find what I'm passionate about because mom and dad are rocking.
Right.
And they're having fun and they're living a life that, I think both my children or all three recognize that I love what I do. And I finally found, I was a teacher, I was in radio, I've done a lot of different things. But they realize that, you know, he's living a happy life right now.
A kick-ass life.
Well, I was going to say that earlier, and I felt kind of weird saying it, but it kind of occurred to me.
One of the questions I ask at the end of the show, you know, and we're really close to the end of the show right now, is, you know, what is a kick-ass life to you, Jeff? I mean, what is it? What does it mean to have a kick-ass life?
Kick-ass life to me is a happy one where I'm doing what I do I don't think is work to me. I think a kick-ass life is having great relationships, having great fulfillment, confidence, and self-esteem, and just living, success to me, like Maya Angelou said, success is liking what you do, liking how you do it. And there's one other part there, but I forgot it. But it's just living a life that makes sense and has a purpose.
Awesome.
You know, when I was doing what I was doing before, when I was in radio, and it wasn't fulfilling to me. But now reaching out and helping dads and helping, you know, ultimately helping children have better lives with great relationships with their parents, that to me is pretty kick-ass.
Well, you know, and I want to just say again, you know, having watched your influence on Mike, who has two daughters, and really why he wanted you to be on the show, right, is to share this message. And I want you to just sort of, and I'm sure you hear it all the time, but, you know, the work you're doing is really having a great impact on people at the deepest levels, and the results are showing within the relationships I'm watching. So congratulations on
not only doing it, but
actually having results. So
well, and writing about it is I think the medium right now. But again, I want to put together a book and sort of start speaking as you are and trying to reach more families.
Sure. Well, don't forget, it's dadvibe.com.
Yeah, dadvibe or the dad vibe. It ends up in the same place.
But. Awesome. Well, like I said, what a great guy. And he's just got great energy. And it's really interesting that he's already sort of, you know, that 7 degrees of separation. He's already sort of friends with friends of mine. Mike, my business partner, is the one that recommended that he come on the call, like I mentioned. And it's really interesting that sort of energy, that like energy, attracting like energy. And I think, you know, just understanding that we're all doing the best we can with what we have. And, you know, I don't believe there is such a thing as a perfect parent, but there are, you know, parenting styles that work very, very well. And, you know, once I've done a lot of work with personality coding, and this is something which I don't even think about very often, But, you know, if you've got a there are four primary. If you go to the colorcode.com, you can actually do a test on your personality style. And they talk about in color, you know, a fiery red, a fun yellow, a spiritual white, or a very gentle blue. So if you've got a red kid and you're a blue personality or a white personality, sometimes there can be so much of the hidden conflict just because you're so different. Or even worse is when, you know, the parent is a fiery red and the son is a very, very gentle white, you know, and you, oh, come on, toughen it up, blah, 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 that kind of stuff, right? So I think really as you step into your next year with your children is to realize that they are their own unique beings on their own path. I know Khalil Gibran, he wrote a book called The Prophet, and I often read it, and I often, it's a verse, there are many verses, and he talks about, you know, the one with children, and he talks about, you know, your children are not your children, they're the sons and daughters of life longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. Anyway, it's a beautiful verse. I don't remember every word, but it's just a beautiful verse, and I think that, you know, as we step into this next year with our kids, I hope you enjoyed this special show, and I hope that you're gentle and kind to yourself, and that you learn to fight well with your children, where forgiveness and not holding on to energy becomes your catchphrase, and allowing yourself to realize that it is one of those beautiful, beautiful journeys, and that ultimately having a great friend in your kids will come, and I truly believe that. So, yeah, rock it up out there. Have great fun, dads. We're all proud of you, and we'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and, of course, at thekickasslife.com.
That was Kick-Ass.